Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You should have a light that everybody sees that goes, that's different. But if you whine and complain and get upset at the same thing the world gets upset, they go, why should I worship your God? You're as miserable as I am. What's the hope in your salvation? You're as miserable as I am. We still fall in the same traps today. So God no longer uses a nation, okay, of Israel to be a light to others. Now he uses individuals as light of salvation. Now, Paul would say this in Romans 10:19, but I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you, meaning the Jews, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. That speaks of the church, by the way, Christians. It's interesting to me, in other words, it's saying that the church is not a nation, but then again, it is a nation, but it's a foolish nation. In other words, when is a nation not a nation? A nation is not a nation when it doesn't have geographical borders. Interesting. The church has no such borders. Matthew 21:43, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you, given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. That speaks of the church. Who is called to bear fruit? We are the church. Luke 17:20 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered, said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Before Jesus rules in his kingdom here on earth, he must first rule in your hearts. Jesus, before Pilate, when asked, are you the king of the Jews? He said and answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is not of this world, meaning it will be born. It will not be born of this world. It will not come from this world. The world system is not going to produce the kingdom of God. The philosophy of this world is not going to produce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes from heaven and first rules in the hearts of his people. That's the kingdom I want to be a part of. And I believe as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a higher priority in reaching people for Jesus than solving all the ills of mankind. This doesn't mean that you don't stand for righteousness. But do you know why the Atlantic slave trade was abolished? It is by first men and women, people coming to know Christ. It was the Christians that abolished slavery. It wasn't the world. It wasn't these secular intellectuals. It was people called William Wilberforce, who was a good friend of a guy by name of John Newton. Do you know who that guy is? He wrote Amazing Grace. You know what he was before he became a Christian, John Newton? He was a slave trader. Wow. Before Wilberforce became a Christian, he didn't mind the slave trade. It was after he became a Christian. And he began to see life and people through the lens of Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says. And he was able to see slavery barbaric, an affront to God, because men and women were created in the image of God. It was people first becoming Christians. And then once they become Christians, at that point, guess what? They can stand for righteousness. And I'm all for that. Let me go off on a little tangent here. I spoke to someone beforehand. This is a big pet peeve of mine. I believe that unless you, if you do not vote, you're in sin. Period. God's word tells us that if you know to do good and you do not do it, to you it is sin. The Bible makes it very clear. When you have a righteous person in authority, the people rejoice. Well, how do you think a righteous person gets in authority here in the United States? You vote them in. Amen. Now, here's my biggest pet peeve. All right? Your vote is not a Valentine. Stop falling in love with the candidate. Ticks me off. They're not great people. Policy will always trump person. Stop voting with your heart. Vote with your brain. Bring it to the Word of God. Dave, both policies are bad. Okay, one is worse than the other. I only agree with 70% of this person's policy, and this person I only agree with 30. Okay, then vote for the 70. It's not difficult. But remove your heart, because it's desperately wicked. And we want someone to smile and go, ding. Oh, that's who I'm voting for. Your vote is not a Valentine. Use your brain. Bring it to the Word of God. I honestly don't care who you vote for. What I care is that you actually bring it to the Word of God and stop using your vote as a Valentine. We are to stand for righteousness. And guess what? We have some very unrighteous people that are running for government and things like that. Okay, but what about the policies? What are they for? The person is a cad. This person is terrible. Okay, get away from that. What is it they're going to be able to do? And you vote that way. You stand for righteousness. You have a vote. Vote. If you don't, you're in sin. You're in sin. That's my perspective. We'll get back to the Word of God here, but it was a whole Wilberforce thing. I believe it's the Lord. In John 8, 12, Jesus said this, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He would also say in Matthew 5, 14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Ephesians 5, 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're the light now. God now works through individuals. That's when a nation is not a nation, is when it doesn't have geographical borders. He now uses individuals to be a light for other people so they will see Jesus. Jesus wanted his disciples to be more concerned about the kingdom to come, storing up treasures in heaven, letting your light be seen by others, the joy of your salvation, to introduce others to Jesus, the Son of God. In John 8:31, it says, "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Well, the irony of this statement is self-evident. They're in bondage to Rome right now as they say that. Okay, and before that, they were in bondage to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and now Rome. So Jesus shows them, you know who you're a slave to? I'm not talking even about another nation. He says this, Jesus said, "Most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What is he talking about in the way that you're in slavery, you're in bondage to? Sin. The word slave here is doulos. It means involuntary slave, a bondsman, a bondman, someone in servitude. It comes from the root word deo, meaning to bind, to capture, to ensnare, to fasten with chains. Thus, a slave at the time of Christ was man-stealing. And Jesus' reference here in John is that the Jews are enslaved to sin because they commit sin, thus a slave to sin. Jesus' main issue was slavery. But not slavery to another man. It was slavery towards sin. That's more important because it has to deal with your eternity. And he is the bondage breaker of that sin. That's why Jesus came. Not to correct every social ill that is going on in the country. okay? He was here to break the most important slavery there was, the slavery to sin. The slavery to sin. Paul would talk about this in Romans 6:11. He says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. He goes on to say, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You know why that God's main issue is sin? Is because it is slavery to sin that leads to death, separation from God. That speaks of all of eternity. That's more important than any miserable condition that you can spend here in life. But if you know God, if you know Jesus Christ, guess what? That's temporary, and you get to have eternal with him. But you can have the most blessed life here on earth, not know Christ, being a slave to sin, and for eternity, you're going to be in hell. You're going to be in hell. So he cares more about that, breaking the bondage of sin that leads to death. That's what Jesus was concerned about. That's what Jesus was concerned about. Now, in John chapter 8, he goes on and says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Who abides forever? A son, not a slave. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I want you to go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. I got to hurry, man. Look at all that. I'll get there. We'll do it. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul did call out slavery in the way of man-stealing. In verse 8, it says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. The law is awesome if you're able to show the law to someone and show that you're a sinner. That's what it's there. Well, then I need help. Yeah, you need a Savior. The law is good to bring you to Christ, okay? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, if you've already come to know Christ, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy, the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers. Well, who do you think kidnappers are? The Greek word here is anthropodistes. It means man-stealer. Paul would have considered the Atlantic slave trade of the 17th, 18th century to be an absolute abomination, utter violation of human dignity, an act of human theft. In this vice list, Paul gives, he expounds on the 5th through the 9th commandments from Exodus 20, and here he condemns man-stealing. Paul shows us that that is absolutely horrid, but he also says this, that when it comes to being a slave there in his day, there under the Roman Empire, when it comes to being a slave, that's irrelevant if you are in Christ. It's absolutely irrelevant. I want you to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Paul shows this in 1 Corinthians 7, Galatians 3, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3. In 1 Corinthians 7, 20, Paul has just talked about here about marriage, and then he talks about circumcision. And then he says this in chapter 7. He says this, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Meaning when you come to Christ, if you're uncircumcised, don't get circumcised. He's saying if you come to Christ, you're married, don't become unmarried. Okay? He says here, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. Guess what? As a slave and you come to know Christ, don't try and get released from it unless, because in Rome, you could actually pay yourself out of servitude. You could buy your citizenship. And so if you're really close to doing that, go ahead, continue to save your money so you can buy your freedom. But if you're nowhere close to that, don't worry about it. You have every spiritual blessing in Ephesians chapter 1 as a slave as you do as being free. And so he goes on and he says here, he says, look, he goes on, he says, For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. You're free in Christ. You have all the spiritual blessings. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Guess what? You're free. You come to know Christ. Guess what? You're a slave now to the Lord, to righteousness. And then he goes on, you're bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Hey, you are purchased by the Lord. Don't now go and start serving mankind with all your vices and your fleshly desires. Don't do that. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Now, I want you to go over here to chapter 3 of Galatians. Just go to the right there a little bit. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 22, we read this. It says, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. This is Paul speaking to the Jews here. He says, therefore, the law was our tutor as a Jew to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, speaking of the Jew. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor of the law. Paul is speaking about himself and fellow Jews. But now he says something different. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 23, 24, 25. He's speaking to the Jews. He's saying we are us. But in verse 26, Paul says you. The pronoun you is used until the end of this chapter, which includes saved Jews and Gentiles together. They're the ones that are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female. For you're all one in Christ. You're all children of God. And those distinctions disappear when it comes to being an heir and the blessings of God. That is what is being spoken of here. And so a Jew is not more preferred than a Gentile in Christ. The man is not more favored than the female in Christ. And the free person doesn't have the advantage over the slave person in Christ. They all have equal footing before the Lord, and this is talking about blessings, all that we have, all the spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1. This is not talking about our roles on earth. We should not try and impress and make this mean something that it does not mean. God does recognize the distinction between a free person and a slave. You can't go to Rome and all of a sudden say, hey, I came to know Christ, so I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a free man. That's what God's word says. They're going, yeah, that's great that you think that in your head, but you're still a slave. And guess what? You're still a male. You're still a female, okay? You are still a Greek. You're still a Jew, but in Christ, not so. You before him, guess what? You have all the spiritual blessings in heaven. Verse 28 speaks about our heavenly position, not our earthly condition. Okay? That's why verse 29, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. That's what that's talking about. You're children of Abraham now. And heirs according to the promise of the Messiah. You have an inheritance incorruptible now. And so this is what is being spoken of. Now, I just want you to go briefly over here to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? And then we'll end with this. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 5, you're told, you're given all these different relationships that you should be a light before the world, okay? And your relationship with your husband and wife, okay, it talks about there in verse 1 in chapter 6. It talks about children, obey your parents. People should be able to see the light of the Lord through your children obeying your parents. Hey, guess what? Also, make sure that you honor your father and mother. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So all these different relationships, as believers, we should be shining a light. Well, here's another relationship, bondservants, slaves. In verse 5, it tells us right here, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. The Greek word there for bondservant is doulos again, okay? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Same thing is spoken of in Colossians when Paul's talking there. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, but you serve the Lord Christ. He's speaking about slaves in Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. He is saying, guess what? You're a slave. You've come to know Christ. You should be the very best slave that there is. So who? Your master can see Jesus in you. Your master can see Jesus in you. And verse 9 of Ephesians 6, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening. If you're a master that has come to know Christ, guess what? You're not supposed to treat the slave like you used to. Don't be threatening, knowing that you're master in heaven and there's no partiality. Oh, you're going to have to stand before God. So you better be treating them good. So they, for what reason? So they can come to know Christ. So they can come to know Christ. Philemon, great book of the Bible, one of my favorite areas of God's word. Here you have Paul, who is under house arrest. He runs into a guy by name of Onesimus, who is what? A runaway slave. Okay, he's a runaway slave. And he's run away from a guy that Paul knows. He knows Philemon. And so he sends a letter to Philemon going and say, hey, brother, how are things going? You're not going to believe this, you know. But I ran into a guy that you know. And guess what? He's now a believer. And I know, you know, that you're going to receive him back because you're a brother in Christ. And I'm the one that, you know, brought you to Christ. I'm the one that showed you Christ. And so you kind of owe me. So when I send him back, he'll be profitable to you because now you're both brothers. We're going to end with this. Go to Philippians. I know I said it was Ephesians, but it was getting you there. Didn't mean to lead you astray, but this is so simple. So here he is under house arrest still. And Paul says this in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it became evident to the whole palace guard, to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. What does that mean? It means that Paul, as he's under house arrest and he's chained to this guard, guess what? That guy, and in the chains of the guard, every guy is going to hear about Jesus. Dude, I've got nothing better to do. I don't know about you, but do you know Jesus? Let me tell you why I'm here. And gives his whole testimony and everything else, whether the guy wants to hear it or not. He doesn't have a choice. Who's really chained here? You know, you have an audience that can't go anywhere. And so he is speaking to everyone. And guess what? The whole palace guard knows why Paul is there. Now go at the very end of Philippians here, chapter 4, verse 21. At the end of his letter, Paul says this, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Why are they greeting them? Because they're now believers. And Paul's just saying, hey, you got new brothers and sisters. They want to say hi. They want to say, hey, hello. Because that is what Paul's been doing as he's been chained, as he is kind of a temporary slave right here. What is he doing? He's being a light. Jesus came because he cared more about slave to sin than slavery in the world. And any other social ill that you put there. Because the greatest need of mankind is not to be a slave to sin, which leads to death, but come to know Jesus that is going to bring them eternal life. Amen? Let's pray. Let
nothing ever separate us. Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.